Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is open mic to Mike. Open mic to Mike. Open mic to Mike. Phone number you know already. 1-800-449-8255 from anywhere in America except the White House. The White House, we have a special hotline directly to the vitriolic president. Directly to the socialist president, we have a special hotline directly to the socialist vitriolic president who hates free speech. The insolence of Obama is reaching a fever pitch, ladies and gentlemen. A fever pitch that I'm astonished at, most importantly because there's a one-party system with virtually no opposition to this man's insolence. How can a president, I don't care who it is, have seized so much power without any opposition from an opposing party? Now, we know about the debate over the Obamacare. That was good. But it seems to be only a show, was a show debate by the Republicans, because the day after it passed, every one of the senior Republicans said, oh, we're not going to repeal it. It was all a shuck and a jive on the Republicans' part. They wanted it too. But, all right, put that aside for the minute. We know it's a budget buster. We know it's socialized medicine. We know it's going to diminish care, increase costs, etc. We know there are death panels. We know all of this. It's a given. But within a few days, the man says he's going to virtually demolish our nuclear arsenal while Russia and China are building their arsenals. How can a single president do this to us? What must he do until you get the idea that he is not playing on this team? What, because the putts from CBS marched with him and they put down people in talk radio? Suddenly I'm supposed to shut my mouth? I don't think so. Now, I want to show you the low level of people who voted for Obamacare. I'm going to play you a soundbite of an actual congressman from Georgia. His name is Representative Hank Johnson, worshiper of Obama, a man who believes in Obamacare, a man who believes that global warming is real, even though all of Germany has abandoned it, a man who is possibly incapable of understanding anything necessary to be a congressman. The man is sitting on the House Armed Services Committee. He's a Democrat. And he is on a hearing on the proposed relocation of naval personnel to the island of Guam. And here is a Democrat who says, well, listen to what he said.
My fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
I'm not making this up. This is a Democrat congressman who was afraid Guam will tip over and capsize. This is the man who voted with Obama on everything. This is a man who says anybody who opposes Obama is vitriolic and evil. This is a man who doesn't even know that Guam is attached to the seafloor and is incapable of tipping over under normal stresses. This is a man who sits on the United States Armed Services Committee. This is a man to whom admirals and generals have to answer. This is a man who is literally dictating policy in the United States of America. Now, if Representative Hank Johnson, who thinks that Guam can tip over and capsize, was alone in his lack of capacity to be a thinking man, I would just say, all right, write it off to that. But I'm afraid to tell you, most of them are no different than Hank Johnson. They're uneducated. They have no concept of most of the things they're ruling on. And that is how a man like Obama is able to do what he does. But we live in a society with a great government, a great system of government, rather, that was set up by brilliant, brilliant founding fathers who wanted a separation of powers. There was the executive power, the president, and then there was Congress, Senate, and the House, and then the Supreme Court. Where are the opponents of Obama on issues such as national security when he says he's going to order the dismantling of our nuclear arsenal to levels that are almost unsupportable? He also went a step further. Obama said that although George Bush said we might use nuclear weapons, should a nation attack us with biological weapons, Obama took that off the table and said we would not use nuclear weapons under that under those conditions either. Don't you liberals understand that your national security is at stake as well as everybody else's? Don't you understand that incompetent left-wing professors who spent their whole life in an ivory tower talking to other jerks may not know what the hell he's doing? Don't you understand that this experiment is becoming increasingly dangerous, more dangerous by the day? Don't you understand that virtually everything that Obama is doing is out of the playbook of radical left-wing Marxist professors? Don't you understand that virtually every policy Obama is trying to force down your throat has been tried for 40 or 50 years and rejected in Europe? Don't you understand anything? I doubt it. Play rock and roll. That's what I want to hear. That's all I want to hear right now because... Mama. No, not that. Come on. I'm not interested. It's not even sarcastically funny. Give me something better with no message. I don't want a message. I don't feel great. I don't want a message right now. I'm not in a message. All right. Big deal. So Guam is going to sink, according to the congressman from Georgia, Democrat Hank Johnson, Obama lover. He's afraid Guam will tip over. And the admiral had to listen to this moron says, we don't anticipate that. Admiral Robert Willard said, we don't anticipate that it will tip over. I don't believe this is what's going on in the country. Make it louder, will you? Oh, please don't call me about it. Turn that off. I don't want to hear from people calling about Republicans don't have the votes to repeal. Leave me alone, will you please? No calls on that. Please. I'm not interested in this Obamacare. We know what it is. It's socialized medicine. We know the Democrats and Republicans are one party. We know the Republicans are secretly glad it got through because Bush wanted it as well. And finally, they got their man in the White House, both parties, with a little help from George Soros. What else? Catholics carry a figure of Christ in a Good Friday procession in Spain. Are they still allowed to practice Catholicism in Spain? I thought that Andalusia was under the crescent and the star. Andalusian Catholics are allowed to have a procession? It's a shocker. I didn't know they still were permitted to do that. Ban the Easter basket. In San Francisco, they want to ban the Easter basket. Can you believe this? What else is in the news? Let's go to Michael Savage. You don't know about this. In San Francisco, there was a drug lab technician that was snorting the coke and sampling the material. So 1,400 cases of drug dealers. 1,400 drug dealers have been dismissed by a district attorney, Kamala Harris, who wants to be attorney general. In other words, she's so incompetent that she's made for the office of governor of the state of California, maybe even president. She's almost rising to the level of Obama's left-wing fanaticism. So there's a drug tech in San Francisco who was found snorting the coke. She hasn't been arrested yet, by the way. Her pension hasn't been touched. Hasn't been arrested. Nothing. So she sampled the goods, so they dismissed 1,400 cases against drug dealers in San Francisco. Now it comes out about an hour ago. It comes out that she got a D-plus in biochemistry. Deborah Madden, the retired technician, who, according to police, admitted to ingesting small amounts of cocaine evidence here and there, was asked in a 2006 court case about her record at UC Berkeley. She said the first time she took biochemistry, she got a D+. The second time she took the course, she passed with a C+. Her entire college chemistry record consisted of Cs, but she managed to get work analyzing drugs at the police crime lab and stayed there for 29 years until just before the snorting scandal broke. She's still not been arrested. Now, it's bad enough to see that her court case in 06 forced her to release her college records. Do you know I'm going to tell you something you don't know. Nobody knows what Obama's college records are. He's the only president in American history who has his college records sealed and his high school records at Punahou. Are you aware of any of this? Do any of you understand what I'm just saying to you? I do not know of another president in American history whose records have been sealed to such an extent as Obama. You know there's a controversy about where he was born. You know that one of the chief flight surgeons refuses to follow his orders because he's not sure he's an American citizen. I don't want to talk about the citizenship thing, but tell me why you think it's valid that Barack Hussein Obama, who was virtually unknown 2 years ago, virtually unknown, we don't know what his college record is, we don't know what his graduate school record is, meaning in law school, we don't know what papers he wrote or what he wrote about. We don't know what he even got in high school or what courses he took. We don't know anything about him. How is it possible that we're living in a country where this could go on? The answer can be heard, my friends, any evening on ABC, CBS, or NBC. 1-800-449-8255. This is Michael Savage. Let's go to the calls. Let's go to a place. I haven't spoken to Portland, Oregon in a long while. Carl, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Carl?
Hey, Michael, I love you, man. I listen to your show every day. I just want to thank you for everything you've done. I've read one of your books. I've been signed your petition on Banding Britain. I signed a petition on Lieutenant Behenna. I've been writing him letters in Fort Leavenworth. Mm. And I just want to thank you for everything you've been doing.
Well, I seem to be the only one in the media who gives a rat's behind about Lieutenant Behenna. Not one other person has picked up this case. I thought by now somebody in the media would have cared about him. I thought one of those who has $18 or $20 million tied up for the benefit of soldiers' sons because of his flag waving would care an iota about Behenna, but even Wallbanger doesn't. Wouldn't you think Wallbanger should care about Behenna?
You're darn right. Sir, I'm a former Marine. I've been in combat. I know what it's all about. And the guy did his job, and now we're punishing him for doing his job.
Carl, I'm glad you called. I feel like I'm... I know there was a guy in the Bible who was yelling in the desert. I don't even remember his name. Who was it, Beowulf? Who was screaming in the desert? Moses? Who? Baccarat? Or Baccarat Crystal? Who was the biblical... Anyway, sometimes I feel like I'm just screaming into hot air in the desert. You know, forget me. Forget the fact that neither anybody in the media really cared about me being banned to Britain. And I'm still banned to Britain. I'm not going to talk about it. I told you I won't. I got used to the fact that they're all phonies, okay? I don't care what you say about me anymore. I'm telling you that Behenna is different. He's not a media figure. Why do they not care about him? Why are they not covering that? This is not the militia where there's any risk of them being called a collaborator. We know that the militia story is fishy. We know that the arrest of the Christian militia in Michigan was a complete political case. We are now reaching the point of the ex-Soviet Union or China in the minds of millions of people where they're arresting people for political speech. We have, in my opinion, the first political prisoners under the Obama regime, and that would be the militia members. No one's written about it. I'm the only one who seems to see what's going on here. These poor guys actually didn't do anything. Now, how can you arrest people on a setup case like this where they're baited by an undercover officer and the defense attorneys can't even question the undercover officer? They just have to take the word of the prosecutor that, A, there was an undercover officer, and B, that they said these things. How is that possible? How could this be going on? Answer, because you have lost all your rights under Obama. Although most of you leftists lied when you said that George Bush took your rights away, and yet none of you were ever arrested as a result of losing your rights. You know it was a big lie. Under Obama, people are losing their rights, and there's no outcry in the media to speak of. But let's go back to Lieutenant Behenna. Far less controversial than the so-called Christian militia in Michigan. Behenna is an Army Ranger. He was in combat in Iraq. His men were blown up by an IED. He arrested a guy who was a member of the Iraqi police. He took him into the headquarters. Headquarters investigated and said, release this guy, the Iraqi policeman. And then they did something strange. They told Lieutenant Behenna, not only is this guy from Iraq, who you suspect was planting the bombs or conspiring to plant them, not guilty, but we want you to take him back to his village. It's never happened in police work before. So as Behenna is driving this Iraqi terrorist, i.e. policeman, back to his village, a struggle ensues. Behenna shoots the guy in a car during a struggle, and he's now serving 15 years in Leavenworth. And I'll tell you a few other points about Lieutenant Behenna. You want to hear a few other points? He is not allowed to receive any visitors that he did not know prior to being put in jail. This is in the United States of America. Do you know that terrorists at Guantanamo are afforded more rights than this former Army Ranger? And yet not one word from Rush, not one word from Wallbanger, not one word from Glenn Beck, not one word from anybody in the media. I'll be right back. Savage.
My fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
That's a Democrat congressman from Georgia, a big supporter of Obamacare, during an Armed Services Committee hearing. He's afraid the island will tip over and capsize. Now, these are the people who are making policy for you on issues such as climate change, which doesn't exist, of course. Man-made climate change doesn't exist. It's astounding to me how far we've fallen. It's not Alice in Wonderland. It's beyond that. We're being ruled by insane, incompetent people at virtually every level, from the local to the national. San Francisco drug lab tech, because she was snorting the coke here and there, turns out that she got a D-plus back when she took biochemistry. No one knows how she got the job analyzing drugs at the police crime lab, but she stayed there for 29 years. It could be, though, actually, now that I look at this, how she got the job, it could be that they tested her and they found out that she had a nose for this kind of work. That's what I'm suspecting. I think that this job was given to her not so much for her grades, which were low, but somebody 29 years ago must have seen that this underachiever, although she had low grades, had a nose for this kind of work. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Come with me, my isle of love, to the sea of love. I want to tell you how much.
Am I the only one who sees the arrogance of Obama and the complete detachment from not reality? He has a real reality. Now, let's put aside the fact that he was unknown as near as 2 years ago, and that all of his records are sealed and no one knows what he studied, what he wrote. We don't know any of that. We do know that all of his friends, or the most prominent ones, and his instructors in his church, were all of a certain, let us say, bandwidth, on a certain bandwidth. We all know that Marxism and Leninism and things of that nature were very much part of his upbringing. But you could say, well, okay, people change as they get older or more mature. That's certainly true. Many people are very liberal when they're young, and they become conservative when they grow up. But some don't change. In fact, they become more fanatic. I believe he has become more fanatic. And I believe that his a passing of Obamacare by any means necessary has made him so bold that he's out of control, and his insolence is out of control. And no better description of Obama's power madness can be found in William Shakespeare's Hamlet. If you remember Hamlet's famous soliloquy, "To be or not to be," where it's written, "For who would bear the whips and scorns of time, the oppressor's wrong, the proud man's contumely, the pangs of despised love, the law's delay, the insolence of office, the oppressor's wrong, and the insolence of office." Think of each one of those phrases. Now, how does the dictionary define insolent? Insultingly contemptuous in speech or conduct. Does that apply to Obama? Yes, he's insultingly contemptuous of the American people. Obama shows his contempt by rejecting the polls which say the American people hate his health care plan. Obama shows his contempt by demanding silence from his critics. Obama shows his contempt by ignoring the Constitution. Under Obama, the insolence of office has been raised to the highest office in the land. The man is arrogant, and all of that can be accepted if he had some checks and balances imposed upon him by a Congress, or by the press, or by the Supreme Court. Do you see any checks and balances in Obama's absolute power? The Republican Party, null and void. Supreme Court, null and void. So where are the checks and balances? Oh, in the media, huh? So there are three or four people speak out against the man's activities, and we are the press now? We're the problem? When the entire press is in the man's pocket? You have a Congress that's filled with lunatics like this guy Johnson, who says that he thinks Guam will tip over? Is there anybody listening to this show who's in Georgia who can tell us about this guy, Hank Johnson, a congressman who's afraid Guam will tip over? But he's not alone. I keep telling you that. Do you actually think Barbara Boxer knows more about science than Johnson? Do you think Barbara Boxer knows more about ecology than this guy Johnson? Do you think any of these dummies really understand what climate is? Do you think they understand anything about mathematics or physical science or chemical science or plant science? They don't understand anything. They're politicians. They say what they think the people want to hear who put them in power, irrespective of whether or not it is true or false. That's why their ratings are in the garbage. Let's take the callers. I've said enough. John in Binghamton, New York, you're up. What's on your mind, John? Go ahead, please.
As you know, Michael, Fox News has a hands-off policy when it comes to yourself. And I think the reason why they won't assist Michael Behena is because if they were to do that, they see themselves as attaching themselves to you because you have championed his cause. So they.
You're probably right. You're probably right. They'll have prostitutes on, pimps, drug dealers, anti-Americans. But they won't have a story on about Michael Behena because I'm trying to help the guy. It has nothing to do with me. It's about him.
It's a very, very sad state of affairs that they cannot see past attaching themselves to you to go the length of helping him. It's really sad.
Well, I'm trying my best. I get letters from Vicky Behena and from his girlfriend. They're heartbreaking. I don't know what to do. But thanks for the call. Again, I don't want to beat everyone up with this. That's all. I'm doing the best I can. I'm going to tell you another little side note. I sent it to a congressman who's investigated. He got stonewalled. A congressman of the United States of America tried to find out why Behena was not granted the right to be free while his case is pending appeal, and he couldn't get an answer from the Defense Department. Something's wrong here. I don't understand the answer to it. New York City, WOR. Steve, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? I hit the wrong button. Give me number six. Give me six.
Hello?
Yes, Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing? First of all, a belated happy birthday.
Thank you.
Michael, I was one of four NYPD officers that came out last year for that tragedy, the four Oakland officers.
Did I have dinner with you and your friends?
That is correct. I just wanted to...
You guys were the best. It was a terrible, terrible situation, but that dinner was very, very reassuring to see guys like you there with the SFPD guys. It was beautiful.
Definitely a sad couple of days, but I just want to say having dinner with you that night definitely one of the highlights of my adult life.
Yes, and I want to thank Aliotos for hosting it, by the way.
But I just want to say I'm calling because I saw that video this morning and the Hank Johnson video I'm referring to, and I got to be honest.
How could the man say he's afraid Guam will tip over?
And I made my sons watch it. Because I want them to see, they're young sons, but I want them to see the incompetence that's in D.C.
But these are the people who are setting military policy. They're setting policy about terrorism. Do you think that the people above him are any different? Do you think that Eric Holder is smarter than Hank Johnson at the end of the day?
I tell you, I don't know. I know you appreciate history, and the only thing I can compare it to, we know of an emperor who's infamous for putting a horse in the Senate, and now it's the party of emperors that are putting a horse's ass in the Senate. That's the one thing I can...
Yes, the Roman emperor who said that I'd rather put a horse in the Senate, he has more sense than than the senators do.
Right.
Yeah, but what does that say about Caligula?
Well, that's it. Again,
All right, I hear you, my friend. I hope we get to meet on a more a cheerful note than that one. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Michigan. Jimmy, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
How you doing?
Okay, Jimmy.
I have I've known Mr. Michael David Meeks for over 30 years.
Hold on. Let's stop and say who this is. Who is Michael David Meeks, Jimmy?
Mikey is one of the gentlemen, and I do use the term gentleman because they all are, that have been arrested by the FBI up here in Michigan. They were part of the Hutari this scary militia that was out to get everybody.
The militia that was going to take over the U.S. government, the United States of America, in order to be able to crack down and take away your guns and end free speech. My opinion is America.
I don't know about that, but I can tell you about Mikey. He liked to train with those guys. He liked to have fun and run around in the woods and shoot guns at the target range. He loved that.
Well, so do most police do that. That doesn't mean that they're a
I'm going to tell you something else about this guy. He was a Republican precinct delegate for here in Washtenaw County. He was planning on running again in August.
Oh.
He was a member of the Campaign for Liberty. He was trying to change things. Yes, he wanted to bring about political change in this country. He did. But he was doing it in a civil way. And that was just a fun thing to do, to go play with his toys.
And well, what's odd about this case is that they claim an FBI agent had infiltrated this dangerous militia and had seen them making explosives. And then we learned through news reports that actually the FBI agent had made the explosives. Isn't that called entrapment, Jimmy?
Yes. That's the same thing they got Randy Weaver for and all of the others.
That's correct. An FBI agent infiltrated Randy Weaver. They gave him a shotgun that was 1 inch too short. They brought in the black helicopters, and an ATF agent shot Randy Weaver's wife and son. And that was under Bill Clinton. Remember that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. And, you know, and they say these things about these people that and they got everybody stirred up here in Washtenaw County. And what's interesting, too, Michael, is I'm a member of the Michigan Militia Corps Wolverines. We have been trying for a very long time to work with the local government, local police, because we're an asset to the community. Everybody in Michigan is broke. We did a search and rescue mission in which Mikey was involved in Bridgewater. We found a woman that we found her body.
So you're saying basically that he's a nice guy and you can't believe they're calling him a terrorist.
Right, exactly, Matt. And he's friendly. He has many, many friends that are police officers, high school friends.
Well, they're claiming he wanted to kill police officers and execute them all.
I know that, and it's totally ridiculous. It's absolutely totally ridiculous.
Well, now you know what the Homeland Security and FBI are after. They're not looking for Muslim terrorists. They're not looking for the next Major Hassan. They're not looking for the next bomb thrower at a U.S. Military installation. Instead, they're looking at white, Christian, male gun owners. Does that make sense to you, Jimmy?
Certainly makes sense to me.
All right, well, okay, that's as far as I'm willing to go. That's as far as I'm willing to go. Something's wrong with the whole picture. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. New York City. Rich, go ahead, please. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. Thank you on Good Friday for speaking up about Christianity and Judaism and bringing religion into your show. And I thank you very much for defending the Pope. I can't thank you enough, sir.
Well, there's a conspiracy against the Catholic Church, as you well know, by those who hate religion. And they know that the Catholic Church is about the only remnant of Christianity that really quotes the Bible that's left. And so the demonic elements in the media and the government that want religion nullified, they don't want it to disappear, make no mistake about it. They want a benign religion along the lines of the religion left in China and the remnants of religion that was left in the ex-Soviet Union. And the last remnant of a strong religious belief in the Christian church is in the Catholic Church. And that's why they're going for the Pope's jugular.
I love it when you bring when you quote the Bible and talk about all the Ten Commandments, and it's wonderful to hear.
Well, today is a very big day for Christians in general. Those believing Christians know that this is the day upon which what happened. Tell us what happened on this Friday.
Yes, was the crucifixion on Calvary.
Correct, and Sunday, of course, Easter Sunday is the resurrection. All right, thanks for the call. Well, I don't know what to say. Let me talk about the Egyptians for a minute. I'll do it in a minute or less. You're not going to believe. I have a dog that I love. I've always been very kind with animals, and I can communicate with most animals. Not wild animals. I wouldn't go in a cage with a tiger. But mostly domestic animals. I have a way with animals. I always have, and I learned how to do it because of my silent brother. I wrote about it in my book, Psychological Nudity. I think many people can communicate with animals. It's not a unique capacity of Michael Savage. But I learned something from a religious man about 4 years ago that really set me off on my heels about dogs, why I may have an affinity for dogs. You know, Passover is a time about when the Jews talk about their escape from Egyptian bondage when they had been slaves. And, of course, the Egyptians had captured the Jews and made them slaves, built the pyramids and all of that. But while the Jews were in slavery and bondage in Egypt, the Egyptians had watchdogs overlooking the Jews. They had the dogs were used to watch the slaves, the Jewish slaves. And so it is written that over a long period of time, the Jews developed a tremendous capacity to communicate with the dogs silently. And they did so in many different ways, including feeding them before they themselves ate even their slave food. And that's why this holy man said to me, you should feed your dog before you eat. And I have done that in my family for years now. You know how dogs get excited when food comes out and it's dinner time, and you know how you say, well, let him wait, he's a dog. Well, try it doing the other way. You'll reduce a lot of anxiety. Put his food in the bowl before you eat and see what happens. And I learned when that custom originated amongst the Jewish people is that because they fed the dogs, when the Jews planned to escape Egypt, they signaled the dogs with their hand signals that they were going to walk across whatever they did, the reeds or through the boat, the papyrus boats, however they did it. And the dogs did not bark because they treated the dogs very kindly and they could communicate with the dogs. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So we have a sitting congressman who believes Guam could tip over and sink if the military lands a helicopter on it. Yeah, I looked up his history, though. You know, the horrible thing is that he replaced someone even worse, McKinney. So you don't know which way to turn anymore. He actually replaced McKinney in an election. Look at the deal. And he was a judge. The guy was a judge. Could you imagine? You know, they have to throw out 1,400 cases in San Francisco because the drug lab head was snorting the coke. What if I were a lawyer, let's say, and one of my clients had come before this guy, this congressman, when he was a judge? He'd say, well, the congressman thinks that Guam could tip over. He's incompetent, man. So I want my case reheard. I think that's grounds for rehearing every case he's ever heard. I certainly do, if we have a system of jurisprudence. Here's another headline. Federal government says homes with Chinese drywall must be gutted. I mean, you can play with those words. Homes with Chinese guts must be drywalled. You know, at a certain point, it's all crazy. We know Chinese drywall was toxic 3 years ago. The federal government just found out about it. People had, you know, itching, sneezing, coughing. They went to the doctor, gave them Ostendil. I don't want to do the medication thing again. Do you know how many illnesses you have that aren't really illnesses, that they're reaction to chemicals in your environment? You want to really get crazy? Do you know how many chemicals in your environment provoke allergic reactions in you and your children? Well, quite a few. Let's put it to you that way. I never let carpet cleaners in my house when the kids were young because we didn't have carpets. We had wooden floors. I never let cats in my house when the kids were young. I know that sounds crazy. I know the cat lovers are going to go nuts. There was a very light putative link between cats and cat leukemia and childhood leukemia. It was a mild epidemiological link. As a result, I wouldn't let anyone with a cat in the house or any cats in the house. I happen to be allergic to cats. You put a cat near me, my throat closes up and I get like red. I turn red. I don't dislike cats. I just can't be around them. I get an itch. They remind me of liberal Democrats. They're covert. They're covert. They cover things up. A dog is overt. It scratches himself and shows you his private parts. When they want to urinate on something, to look you right in the eye and pee on the rug. I mean, it's amazing. A dog is right up front. A cat's hidden. They remind me of Democrats. That's why I don't like them. A dog is more like a constitutional Republican. You know, as I go, it's just the way it is with me. I just like overt. I don't like covert. I can't even get into this story. Chavez wants nuclear facilities from Putin. So I don't get this Putin thing. He's embarrassed in Russia because he let the Chechens blow up the subway, then blow up something in southern Russia. And he says he's going to wipe them off the earth. And then he goes to Chavez and he offers him weapons to build nuclear weapons now. And Chavez says it's not for weapons. It's for peaceful energy uses. It's exactly the playbook as Iran, which I start to see now the picture of all the fanatic right wingers have been calling the show who say I'm too liberal. They claim I'm too liberal. The fanatical right-wingers who call this show said I'm too liberal, that it's the KGB all along that really won the Cold War and implanted all of these anti-American people in the government and have basically stimulated the Islamic Revolution around the globe in order to destabilize and bankrupt America. I've dismissed all of this as crazy. But now I see he flies to Chavez and he's going to give him nuclear technology and more weapons. So Sean Penn could wind up in a leadership role in the new America. A man who said anyone who criticizes Chavez and calls him a dictator should be arrested on Bill Markowitz's show. It's amazing to me. How could Bill Markowitz keep his show on HBO for allowing that to go over the air? 1-800-4-4. I don't even want to read the number. Don't call the show. If you want to call it, call it. If you don't want to call it. I want to talk about Obama's arrogance and insolence, which I think is out of control. I believe that the man is out of control. I believe that the man has no concept of what he's saying or doing. No, I take that back. I mean, he knows exactly what he's saying and doing, and he doesn't care what you think about what he's saying and doing. That's what I meant to say. I'm a little tired. How could he single-handedly say he's going to dismantle most of our nuclear weapons without a peep in the media or the military? How is it possible?
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation coming upon one of the holiest days in the Christian church. As you well know, Friday, crucifixion of Jesus. Right now the Pope is being crucified by the vermin in the media. Pope is being crucified by liberal religionists, co-religionists, as well as religionists from other faiths, stomping on him while the abuse scandal spreads through the Catholic Church. Instead of any charity and understanding, there is crucifixion. We are living in very dangerous times. Times that are so dangerous that I will have to quote Isaiah himself when I say to you the following. As for my people, a babe is their master and women rule over them. It's made for our times. That one line from Isaiah is made for Obama, Janet Napolitano, Hillary Clinton. As for my people, a babe is their master, and women rule over them. O my people, if they lead thee, cause thee to error, and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord stands up to plead with you and stands to judge the peoples. Read it yourself. Laugh at it if you want, all of you atheists and agnostics. It doesn't matter to me. Because some of this is so prophetic that it doesn't even require translation, nor a selling job. Look what Isaiah said would happen at some point. He said the following would happen, and I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them, and the people shall oppress one another. Did you hear that one? Every man his fellow, and every man his neighbor. The child shall behave insolently against the aged, and the base against the honorable. You hear this one? And so, therefore, these are very, very bad times. And he says, and for Jerusalem is ruined, then Judah is fallen. Why? Because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. They declare their sin is Sodom, and they hide it not. It was going on then. Say of the righteousness that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him. For the work of his hand shall be done to him. As for my people, Isaiah wrote, a babe is their master, and women rule over them. My people, oh boy. Did that ever make sense to the ancient Israelites? And what happened next was even worse. I only pray to God that it's not a repeat of biblical history what comes next from these idol worshippers who are running America. And I stand by those words. We have Philistines running America. You know, that used to be a phrase that was used in literature, Philistines. Today the phrase would be applied, the word would be something different. But in essence, we have Philistines running America. It's a perfect description of Obama, Janet Napolitano, and the others. You can say my babe is their master, women are all over them. It wouldn't mean anything. But what if I say the Philistines are running America? You know, we'd have to go further down into Isaiah to see what I mean. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that change darkness into light and light into darkness, that change bitter into sweet and sweet into bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. I mean, you read these words in a time like this, maybe some of it filters through. And I'm no holy roller. I don't go to a house of worship. You know, I go a couple of times a year. I don't do well in congregations of any kind. I'm not a group kind of guy. If you are, God bless you. Some people love it. And I've said it many times. I believe in rituals, and I believe in the church. I believe in the temple, in the synagogue. I believe in all of the major five religions on earth because I think that they keep people somewhat aligned with reality. You need some guidelines. You need the green lights, the red lights, the yellow lights. Without them, we'd be animals altogether. You know it, and I know it. In fact, the worse we are, the more we need it. In fact, the stronger the evil impulse is within us, the more we actually have to follow these, you know, look at the rules anyway. What do you say? Why? Well, it'll only make you feel guilty and ashamed. Well, that's the liberal statement. You're supposed to feel guilty and ashamed if you're a piece of garbage. You're not supposed to have self-esteem in prison. Where did it come up that a murderer should have self-esteem and self-help in a prison? Don't you love the mumbo-jumbo and the con jobs? I watch these shows. I'm astonished. I'm sweating my behind off here on the radio every day or writing a book and sweating it out trying to put a show together. And they're sitting in group therapy sessions. They got video cameras making a movie, learning how to write a newspaper, all a taxpayer expense. And you wonder why we're going broke. Who ever heard of group therapy for a mass murderer? Who ever heard of such things? The world is upside down. The world is upside down. They're not supposed to have self-esteem. They were sent to prison so they know they're no good. They were sent to prison so they know they're no damn good. And when they come out, they never want to go back there again because they had a bad time. It's not supposed to be a good time. They're not supposed to have squash courts and basketball courts and weightlifting sets. And the worst of it is the group therapy sessions. I never heard of anything like this. Sometimes I wish there was a group therapy session for talk show hosts who are being picked on by an illegitimate government. How's that? An anti-American government. I wish there was a group therapy session for people who stand up to the Philistines who are ruining the United States of America. To the Philistines who are destroying the Constitution, who are dismantling our national security, who are attacking the decent people of this country on a daily basis who simply speak out. I wish to God there was a group therapy session for those of us in the media with the guts to stand up to this group of Philistines. But there is no therapy session. The only therapy for people like me is God himself. But since God has turned away from all of us a long time ago, because we're all no damn good, you have to just do it on the natch. You have to do it on your own. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, that justify the wicked for a reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. I love that one. And take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. It's great stuff. It's a great language. It's great poetry. Beautiful poetry. But it's all about one thing. It's not just poetry. You know, it's not about poetry. It was an attempt to take the ancient Israelites who were mean SOB desert warriors. I mean, let's face it. These were not Bagels and Lox guys. These were not guys who rolled gefilte fish and danced the hora and then went to a therapy session. These were brutal men. These were brutal men thousands of years ago. They were proud, brutal men. They were thick-necked, proud, brutal men. And God had to control them. So you could say, well, all right, so they had the prophets write this stuff in order to get the people scared, and they came up with the mumbo-jumbo with the burning bush, and they saw him. He didn't see him. Where was he? He was over there. Where? Right there. I went there, and there was nothing, and I looked. I couldn't find him, but there was an ash where the burning bush had been, and then the ash itself told me that thou shalt this and that, and many people are cynical about it. I understand. Well, let me ask you something. How would you raise a child other than with the Ten Commandments? Tell me what rules you would give a child. I'll answer you, you liberals. You'll tell them that social justice is the equivalent of religion. Well, take a look at the results of your social justice in Marin County. Take a look at all the rat boys and the rat girls that turn out from your social justice preaching. Take a look at the drug addict children over there in Marin County from preaching social justice to them instead of telling them that they're no god darn good when they're no damn good. Instead of taking away the crack pants when he comes home and throwing them in a fireplace. When your stupid son comes home with his pants hanging down under his behind. Instead of saying, get those pants off or I'll throw you out of the house, and throwing his pants in a fireplace. And say, when you're in my house, you wear pants like a man, not like a gangbanger looking to get sissified in a jail cell. Okay? All of this liberalism, look what it produces. Take a look at the children in America today. Go look in a mall. Take a look at them. Yeah, but where's God? The answer is, so where's God then, if you know so much? Where is he? But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Many of you don't even know where the words a still small voice came from. You thought it was written by Al Gore. No, but it's in the First Kings. A still small voice. It was not written by Al Gore before he invented the internet and invented the global warming. And it was so, a still small voice. And he goes out and the voice says to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said to him, go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you come, thou shalt anoint, and so forth and so on. And he departs, and he found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And the fable goes on. The Bible was the original stream of consciousness, by the way. People say in literature, I study this because people say to me that Michael Savage is one thing he does better than anybody, and I've done it from the beginning. My signature was stream of consciousness. You get me off on a little subject, and I go forever on it, and it gets better and better. I build on it. Okay, I understand the stream of consciousness. So where did it begin? Who actually started the stream of consciousness? Well, it goes back. People say, well, it really started with the Irish poet, and is that a name, who wrote for book upon book. I believe it was in the 1700s, where he starts out to go to a certain place, and he gets sidetracked, and he stopped, and he tells that story. And then on the way, he goes from there to there, and he gets tracked. With the butcher gave him a leg of lamb, and they went to see the butcher who slayed the lamb. And it goes on and on. And that was, they say, the original stream of consciousness in English literature comes from Shandy. But it doesn't come from Shandy. The original stream of consciousness comes from the Bible. Because it's all storytelling. It's all storytelling. The Bible is all storytelling. Some would say it's the biblical truth. Some would say it's good poetry. Some would say it's nonsense. But it's all storytelling, whatever it is, true or false, whether you believe it or not. If you think about it, the Bible is stream of consciousness, incidentally. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the nation had avenged themselves of their enemies. And I think I'll pause at that statement and read it again from Joshua. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the nation had avenged themselves of their enemies. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You are my special angel sent from up above.
I'm going to move away from religion for the minute. I'm just going to tie it up. I mean, you know, Easter is the central religious feast in the Christian liturgical year. And Jesus, according to Christian scripture, was resurrected from the dead on the third day after his crucifixion, which is celebrated as Easter Sunday. And it's interesting to me that the Catholic Church is being crucified right now, and how astonishing to me that leading figures in Jewish circles are really not helping the situation. There's no kindness. You want me to name a few names? I think it's astonishing that at a time like this, we would not see people saying, yeah, there's a problem, but you don't kill the whole religion because of the problem of a number of priests. It's astonishing to me to see the entire West melting down politically and spiritually, which leads me back to the babe is their master and women rule over them. Back on September 10, 2008, I wrote a piece called Obama on the Couch, How Bad is This Woman Problem? Many of you don't even remember this. It was during the campaign. I'm going to read you a few pieces from it. Michelle in Indiana, go ahead. Michelle in Indiana, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, excellent. I was just thinking you need to get him back on the couch. Unless, I mean, you covered it. It probably all has been said, but...
It hasn't been said. People don't even know I wrote it. Obama on the Couch, How Bad is This Woman Problem, September 10, 2008. Very few people actually heard that show, Michelle.
Very few people heard anything, because that's how we got him.
That's right. Now, let me read this. Barack Obama compared Sarah Palin to a pig with lipstick. That's when he did that. You probably forgot this. And I said, why would he do a thing like this? Why would he compare Sarah Palin to a pig with lipstick? And I wrote this. To find the answer, we must return to Obama's childhood and examine his relationship with his mother. In 1961, Obama's mother, Ann Dunham, married Obama's father, a man from Kenya. He abandoned the family, and within 3 years, they were divorced. In 1967, his mother married another man, this time an Indonesian. A few years later, she was divorced again. Through all this time, Obama's mother went globetrotting from Hawaii to Indonesia to Pakistan. Sometimes she took her young son, sometimes she left him behind. What appears to have happened to Obama as a result is that he developed symptoms of what psychologists refer to as an Oedipal complex. In an Oedipal complex, a male child is fixated on his mother and competes with his father for maternal attention. In such cases, a critical point of awakening occurs where the child realizes that the mother has affections for others besides himself. In this case, Obama had to compete with multiple paternal stand-ins and was never fully able to bond with his mother. The result seems to have been a resentment towards women that he has never been able to get beyond. I mean, this is what I wrote during the campaign. You want me to continue or not? I think I will. Furthermore, excessive separation within an Oedipal complex leads to a sense of helplessness that can in turn lead to patterns of idealized control and self-sufficiency, which shines through in his often arrogant smile. Remember when I wrote this, September 10, 2010. Obama's mother sent him to live away from her when he was 10 and again when he was 14. It seems clear that this excessive separation in the absence of a father has led to a pattern of idealized control that Obama has not only imposed on himself, but now wants to impose on the United States of America. Obama's mother was a free spirit who traipsed around the world following her own self-interests. And while there's nothing wrong with that in itself, you can't ignore the effects that such narcissism has had on her children, especially when one of those children wants to be president. It seems Obama has a woman problem. He both wants to win their approval and control them at the same time. Unfortunately for him, Sarah Palin is not the kind of woman who responds well to control. Millions of women like Sarah may be traditional in their love for men, but they are feminists in terms of self-reliance. Attacking such strong women to control them has never worked and will not work for Obama. I ask, do you think Obama has a woman problem? Does he have an Oedipal complex? If you agree he does, how bad on a scale of 1 to 10 do you think Obama's Oedipal complex is? September 10, 2008, never ever heard by anyone except maybe, I don't know, 100,000. I don't know how many people listened at that moment. Never published, never picked up, never talked about, but I think still a relevant question. Barack Obama and his narcissism, first pointed out by yours truly, Michael Savage.
Savage.
This song is dedicated to Punahou High School and all of its graduates. Go back to my little grass shack in Kealakeua, Hawaii. I want to be with all the kanes and wahinis that I knew long ago. I'm a little off here, and I'm singing off key. My little grass shack in Kealakeakua, Hawaii. I can hear old guitars playing on the beach at Ho'onu'a'a'a'u. It's a tough language. It's all vowels. Spoken Hawaiian. I actually studied it. It's an interesting language. Komo mai na ka'ua aka hale wela ka'ahau. That means Obama will one day be president. I'll do the Hawaiian stuff. Komo mai ni ka'ua aka hale wela ka'ahau. It won't be long till my ship will be sailing back to Kona. A grand old place that's always fair to see. I'm just a little Hawaiian and a homesick island boy. I want to go back to my fish and poi. I want to go back to my little grass shack in Kealakeakua, Hawaii. Where the humu 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 nu u u kunu u u ku u a a u a a go swimming by. Okay, we had a little fun. My Little Grass Shack in Kealakeakua, Hawaii by Billy Cogswell, Tommy Harrison, and Johnny Noble. Played by Gary Iko and the Legends originally. Don Ho, I think, did My Little Grass Shack, didn't he? You could probably find the lyrics on a Don Ho, an old Don Ho song. Please, I was just kidding. Do you have any slacky guitar? You want to really hear great stuff. There's a blind Hawaiian musician. Died a number of years ago. Incredible. What a day this is. Oh, God, I have to talk about climate. Tonight I'm going to have spaghetti, and tomorrow I'm going to have spaghetti. You know, the British used to eat cold spaghetti for breakfast. I used to laugh at it when I was young. You know, there's a certain wisdom to it. I never understood the British diet. I think it led to my band being banned in Britain by criticizing their cuisine. I'm not quite sure what did it. It could have been that they were so angry that I talked about their dental work and their cuisine for years that they decided to ban me, and they, you know, drummed up a case against me. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Any topic is fair game. I do not want to talk about anything that's on the board. You want me to really go wild? I have a full board. Every line is sold out, right? You want me to go wild on the board? I'll tell you what we're going to do. Doug, I don't want to do this to you. Clear the board. No one's on a board that's up now. You've worked hard. Clean them out. You know what this is? You know, I have a screen with all these callers, right? A name, city, and what they want to say. That's clear it out. Now I have a blank sheet of paper. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. 1-800-449-8255. All clean, clean as a whistle. They say that a writer who faces a blank sheet can often have a panic attack. Not me. I'd rather face a clean board sometimes than a full board with stuff I talked about 2 hours ago. So let's see what comes up now. I mean, I went all the way across the map from Obama's arrogance to I don't believe the case against the Christian militia would hold up in a court of law. I think it's a completely constructed political case. To Lieutenant Behenna, to the Bible, to singing Kealakeakua, Hawaii, here's a new story I'm going to play for you now. This is if you think you have anxiety now and that you're worried about things, I mean, you should be with Obama in power with his arrogance and his out of control policymaking. You should be frightened. But wait, it's going to get even better. A ban on the use of antidepressants by pilots was just lifted by the Federal Aviation Administration. Now, why would the FAA lift a ban on antidepressants for pilots in a time like this? How in the world could they do this? Listen to clip 25.
Finally, the FAA is lifting a ban restricting pilots from taking antidepressants. The agency says potential side effects of these drugs, like drowsiness, in their opinion, do not pose a safety hazard. So starting Monday, the FAA is going to allow pilots to take antidepressants like Prozac, Celexa, and others as long as the pilot has illustrated a history of using the drug for at least a year without any incidents. As many as 10,000 pilots could be affected by the changes.
Now, why would the FAA under Obama permit pilots to use antidepressants when this had been a no-no for so many years? The answer is because the bastards who are running things could care less about your safety. The answer is because the scum in the drug industry have bought off the FDA and the FAA and could care whether planes crash or not less. All they care about is selling and peddling little pills. This is insanity. This is something that only drug addicts on MSNBC would celebrate by saying, at last, they've lifted the ban on antidepressants. Now, why would anybody celebrate a thing like this? How could you say this is in the interest of public safety to allow pilots to be on antidepressants? Listen to the next piece of propaganda in 26.
Seems like one of the things that's happened is the drug makers have figured out how to make these drugs a little bit better so that there is less risk of drowsiness, and that's what the FAA has concluded. But it also, the bigger point seems to be that it's there's an acceptance that pilots have stressful jobs, even suffer from depression. And part of this is that they've encouraged pilots to say, okay, I've been taking these drugs to prevent depression. You can come forward. We can talk about it. We can get treatment. And that seems like a positive thing.
You stupid moron, you. You stupid idiot, you. Everybody has a stressful job who does anything. But certain people are in different categories. They have the lives of others in their hands. They're not like you schmuck in the media, where you may have a stressful job and you can take a drug or go out and get drunk. There's no consequences, you putz. But a guy flying 400 people has consequences to flying around on drugs. Now, here's another one. Here's Andre Martinez, another genius of the New America Foundation, saying it's a cultural milestone. Listen.
It feels like a real cultural milestone. On the other hand, I'm glad that that there's this rule that you have to have been treated for over a year, or for at least a year, because, you know, these drugs have gotten a lot better, but Zoloft, Prozac, there can be pretty dire side effects that aren't always known, and it's not just drowsiness.
Yeah. Okay, listen, we get the schmuck off the show. So MSNBC celebrates pilots being allowed to take antidepressants. Now, I could ask you what you think about it. I know what your answer is. I believe most of our Congress are drug addicts. I stand by those words. I can guarantee you that if there were drug testing in Congress, you'd find out that almost everybody who voted for Obamacare was on an antidepressant. And that's why they're like zombies. That's why they don't walk, they don't give a damn what you think. They don't give a rat's behind about the Constitution. It's why they're permitting them to trample on your freedoms, because they're zombies. They're drugged out. Now, you have to take a drug test to get a job, don't you? But not them. Why not? Why not? Maybe tell you something about your so-called leadership, wouldn't it? But they have to pass the law saying that they'd have to take the drug test. So you don't think you're going to get that, do you? I don't think that that'll go through Congress. That's called privacy. But you have no privacy. They have privacy. You're telling me that half the speeches you heard from the Democrats didn't sound like they were drug addicts to you? And the Republicans, by the way? Maybe a handful of Republicans and a handful of Democrats are not on some kind of medication that affects psychoactive medication? Because there's something so wrong with the government right now that people know it too. They can sense it. But let's put aside the fact that politicians are worrisome. We know that. You really think that this is a rational decision to permit pilots to take a psychoactive compound like Prozac before flying or to be on such drugs? I don't. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why right now. Let's go back to some of the side effects of these antidepressants, this category of antidepressants. Serotonin reuptake inhibitors, if you want to know exactly what they are. We won't go into the chemistry of them, but that's what they are. Serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Now, what happens with some people who take these drugs is they are prone to violence and suicide. Well, I can name a few cases. If you remember the famous cases of the kids who went with the guns, and that was hushed up. But it turned out that I was right when it happened. They were on antidepressants because the quack doctors are drugging our children from very early on. And the kids are growing up to be murderers, some of them, because of the drugs that they're on. And so therefore, now, if we know that there is a certain percentage of reactions from these Prozac-like compounds that produce suicidal ideations and, in fact, suicidal activities and or homicidal ideations and homicidal activities, why in the world would it make sense for the FAA to lift the restriction on taking these drugs at this time? Simply because the drug industry has virtually a total lock grip on this government and this administration. Many of you thought that Obama would be in favor of more natural treatments, or that he wouldn't be in the hands of the drug companies. You're wrong. This proves that you're wrong about this as well. So I could ask you about this, but what are you going to say? You're in favor of it? You're not in favor of it? What is that going to get us? I'm not taking the Axelrod call. It's just a statement that I can't confirm. So 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. What do you think about that? Do you think it was wise of the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, to allow pilots to be on antidepressants? Do you agree with MSNBC schmucks who say that it's long overdue that pilots should be allowed to take antidepressants. Do you think that knowing that 10,000 pilots are going to be able to take antidepressants is good for your safety or increases your risk of a crash? I'll be right back.
Savage.
This song goes out to Phil Spector, somewhere wigless in Los Angeles. 1-800-449-8255. I saw a thing about him last night on like a crime show, the Phil Spector murder thing. I don't know why I'm fascinated by that. I liked all the scenes on Sunset Boulevard, the restaurants. You know, I ate in some of them, you know, big deal. Tourist joints, Antenna, big deal. Old trick shrimp, anyway, wherever you go. Little trick seafood, wherever you're going. I get sick. Every seafood I'm eating, like a trick, a blow-up. The hands blow up. Each finger looks like a Viagra finger. I had it last night. I had shrimp and scallops from a joint I know. And the hands blew up like I put a Viagra injection in each finger. I don't know what they're doing with food today. I ate in the place before. It couldn't be the salt. The hand looked like blimps, like blimp fingers. Look at this story just came out. Look at this story. Pet poodle in New York City suburb killed by a coyote. I mean, that's close to my heart. Rye, New York. Police say a coyote has killed a pet poodle on the grounds of a retirement home in New York City suburbs. That's like a do-ay. Rye Police Commissioner William Connors, the poodle was tied up and left alone in the yard Wednesday by an elderly resident at the Osborne Retirement Community. Someone called police about a possible coyote attack. Was the right to find the dog's carcass and see a coyote running off. Coyotes weigh 25 to 50 pounds. Miniature poodles are usually between 12 and 18 pounds. That's Teddy's weight. Teddy's like a 14-er. A Teddy's a foot. What if I came and saw a carcass? I wouldn't know what to do. It's horrible. Well, you don't leave a poodle out at night in any area where there's a wild kingdom out there. In Florida, there's foxes. In California, we got coyotes. We got mountain lions. We got liberals. We got socialists. We got the Leninists. You don't want to leave a poodle out there with socialists running around the woods of Marin County, stoned out of their minds on medical marijuana. I love this. They arrested an outdoors writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. They found him growing like commercial quantities in his barn. This is Tom Outdoor, Mr. Outdoor. Him and his old lady were like growing reams and reams and reams. I mean, and they had like printed sheets on for medical marijuana use for him and the wife and the son. And he wasn't arrested. He was released. It's bad for business in Sonoma County to arrest a drug grower. Everyone is on medical marijuana up there, including the police chief probably. The whole country's screwed. That's all. Now you got pilot. It's one thing to be a talk show host and say what you want, right? But what if you're a pilot and you take an antidepressant now and you have suicidal ideations? Oh, that's okay, says the FAA. We figured out like one plane crash per year is acceptable. Are they crazy? What if you're a pilot of a plane and you get a co-pilot who you know is a nutcase, is now on antidepressants? What are you going to do about it? Oh, I would say give Prozac to pirates. That's what I would say. Next time you catch them, stick Prozac in their mouth and throw them overboard. Salt Lake City, Utah. Denise, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, my husband is absolutely appalled by the fact that they're allowing pilots to take any type of antidepressants.
And was your husband a pilot?
He is, yes, yes.
What's he going to do if he gets a co-pilot and he's on antidepressants or she's on antidepressants? How in the world can they come up with a ruling like this?
He doesn't know. He feels like any pilot at all.
I don't understand this. I can't understand the woman, but okay, it was the sound. It was the connect from the area. There's something like Area 56 interferes with the sound coming out of Salt Lake City. Doesn't it? I mean, it like sends waves through Salt Lake City, then the sound comes out wrong. Do you have any Don Hoff music? I'm so whacked out right now. I'm so tired. It's been a long day's journey into night, a long day's journey. No, I hate this song. I hate it. I mean, I could take tourist songs up to a point. You don't have any slack key guitar for me? Anything in slack key? How about Obama slamming vitriolic talk show hosts? We did that last. Turn that off, too. No good. Nothing's good. just Obama. I don't want to play him either. I'm sick of him. Obama talks about Iran, and people think he's a socialist, and he poo-poos it. And the plant from CBS plays night basketball with him. Doesn't anyone see the irony of a CBS reporter being a stooge for the president and then playing night basketball with him? Does that not strike you as bizarre? Am I the only one who's left who sees what's going on and actually understands that this is a parody of itself? No? Okay. How about Hank Johnson, a congressman from Georgia, thinking that Guam could tip over and capsize if too many people appear on it? And he votes! Listen to this. I'm not making it up. Here's Representative Hank Johnson, who during a hearing on relocating Marines to Guam says he thinks that too many people on Guam could cause the island to tip over and capsize. And he votes! Listen.
My fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
I swear to God I didn't make this up. This is a Democrat congressman who voted for Obamacare. This is a man who believes in global warming. This is a man who's going to go along with Obama's destroying our nuclear arsenal. This is a man who thinks that whatever Obama does is godlike. And he thinks that Guam could tip over and capsize. And he's on the House Armed Services Committee sitting and telling admirals what to do and what not to do. I just don't believe this. I just don't believe this. And here's Representative Hare, who has a rabbit brain of Illinois, who says, I don't worry about the Constitution in clip 18.
Where in the Constitution?
No, we are going to. I don't worry about the Constitution on this, to be honest.
A conservative voter in this lib socialist district comes up and says, where in the Constitution does it say that you have to cover people in charge of them for health care? This is Representative Hare with a hare brain from Illinois saying, I don't worry about the Constitution. Listen to 18.
Where in the Constitution?
No, we are going to. I don't worry about the Constitution on this, to be honest.
That's right. Jackpot, brother.
Oh, keep what up. I care more about the people that are dying every day that don't have health care.
You care more about that than the U.S. Constitution that you swore to uphold.
Which you swore to uphold. Yeah, you're a dreamer, my friend. You think he swore to uphold the Constitution? Are you kidding? You must be joking. A Democrat, Obama supporter, swore to uphold the Constitution of what, Indonesia? The Constitution of Indonesia permits health care for all. You know what I mean? I could play another actor on an environmentalism, but, you know, even Germany has given up on global warming. It's a great story. I highly recommend it. I know it's Easter Sunday, and you should do more important things than read michaelsavage.com, but we linked up a story from Germany, which puts the final nail in the ice coffin of global warming. And it says, here, where is it? Left side, here. When the Germans give up on warming, you really do know it's over, by James Dellingpole. And he says, no people on Earth are more righteously green than the Germans, and they've already given up on global warming. About a year ago, 62% of them believed in this myth. It's now 42%, which means 60% or so do not believe in the myth anymore. Can you believe this? Oh, yes, one other story. Mexicans are now going to claim asylum owing to the drug war. Get ready for tens of thousands to flood the courts with a little help from their verminous friends from NYU Law School claiming asylum owing to the drug war. Have a nice moment. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Oh, It's Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. Big news today is that a federal magistrate at the end of the day today ordered that 8 people accused of plotting to kill police officers as part of a revolt against the U.S. government be held without bail pending their trial. The lawyers for the militia members are saying they are political prisoners, and they don't even know who the FBI undercover agent is who has made these accusations. And that the lawyers have not been able to question the FBI agent. They claim that the only basis for arresting their clients was their speaking out against the government. And now the government has said, too damn bad. They're locked up. We're throwing away the key. Have a nice day. That's America under Barack Obama. You know, we kept hearing that the rights were lost under Bush, which was a lie. But now rights are really being lost under Obama, and you don't hear a word of it. Not one word of it inside the worthless media. Here's another breaking story that should make your weekend, those of you who are still conscious. You're not going to believe this. You're just not going to believe this. Vladimir Putin went to Venezuela. And while he was in Venezuela today, guess what came out? You're not going to believe this. He's cooperating with Latin America's main left-wing fanatical foe of the United States and a good friend of Sean Penn, Hugo Chavez. And guess what Mr. Chavez wants? Nuclear energy, space technology. It gets worse. Did you hear what I just said? Putin then went and held talks in Caracas with the Bolivian communist president, Evo Morales. These two are the fiercest opponent of the United States. It is frightening to watch what's going on while Obama gives away the store.
Sounds like the Cold War all over again in Eisenhower's domino theory.
Chavez said Moscow and Caracas would strengthen security ties to continue increasing Venezuela's defense capability and move ahead with Russia on nuclear energy. Chavez said we're not going to build the atomic bomb, but we will develop nuclear energy for peaceful purposes. This is exactly what Iran said. Can you believe this? Can you believe what's going on? Since 2005, Venezuela has bought $4 billion worth of Sukhoi jet fighters, Mi-17 helicopters, and Kalashnikov assault rifles. Chavez received more than $2 billion in loans for more Russian arms during his 8th visit to Moscow in September, including T-72 tanks and the S-300 advanced anti-aircraft missile system. I don't think you people know what's going on, but Putin's first visit to Venezuela is seen as part of an effort by Russia, Moscow, to own oil assets all over the world and to expand the Russian sphere of influence into the Americas.
My God, it's like we got an Iran in the Western Hemisphere now.
Chavez says that Russian cooperation will go as far as the space industry. He said we could even install a satellite launcher on Thursday. This is going on at our doorstep under Obama's watch. Not one word from the useless communist media. That's one man's opinion.
Satellite is the right word. They're becoming a satellite of Russia.
By the way, a footnote to this. Our Secretary of State, the genius Hillary Clinton, said nothing. Chavez says his growing military arsenal is aimed at countering a planned increase in the U.S. military forces at bases in Colombia, which is Washington's closest ally in the region. So there it is, ladies and gentlemen. He's arresting people with guns in the United States of America on trumped-up charges and doing nothing about Venezuela, who is increasing ties with Russia.
And at the same time, he's dismantling our nuclear arsenal.
That really is frightening, Beowulf. I can't believe he's getting away with this. How could he dismantle the nuclear arsenal without a vote of Congress? How is that possible?
It seems like he's governing by executive fiat at this point.
Okay, rock and roll. I want some rock and roll. The Savage Nation broadcasting from San Francisco to the world. One man's opinion is what it is. One man's opinion, that's just my opinion. beauty of the show is that I put out, I disseminate the information, the stories, whatever. I combine it with some folksy stories, which are all real. And then you can go to my website and you can look up the actual article. I don't write the articles, I link them. Joining us now with an exclusive update is Robert Scott Bell.
Hey, thanks, Michael. Good to be back with you on the Savage Nation. I was just out on the West Coast at the Health Freedom Expo, and it was really interesting. You know, some would argue, although not a lot of the people into Health Freedom, but some would argue that health insurance reform may be of benefit to some people. But what they neglect to acknowledge is that there is no authority for the government to force us to buy a product, whether it's helpful or not. So the argument is really different than what our friends on the left would say by saying, well, it's going to help some people. Well, so what? Where is the authority? Do we acquiesce our bodies to government just because somebody might benefit? And whether it's helpful or not, of course, I would argue in many cases, as we've talked about here on the Savage Nation, that a lot of times medical interventions are not only unnecessary, but they're downright dangerous. And the particular product that they're happening to force upon us or foist upon the so-called millions that are uninsured, the third leading cause of death. My goodness. In fact, I met with a medical doctor and naturopathic doctor. She's double dangerous. Dr. Carolyn Dean. She's the author of a book called Death by Modern Medicine. And there was a big meta-analysis done about all the causes of death from modern medicine, iatrogenic and otherwise. And in fact, it was up to the first leading cause of death, a number was tallied up that was 784,000 Americans every year dying before they could or should have, in fact, which is sort of like what we heard from, was it Krugman, who was saying, hey, this is going to save us some money?
Play the clip.
It's amazing, actually, if you think about people on the right, they're simultaneously screaming, they're going to send all the old people to death panels, and it's not going to save any money. That's a contradictory point of view. The advisory panel, which has the ability to make more or less binding judgments on saying this particular expensive treatment actually doesn't do any good medically, and so we're not going to pay for it, that is actually going to save quite a lot of money. We don't know how much yet. The CBO gives it very little credit, but most of the healthcare economists I talk to think that it's going to be a really major cost saving.
What?
Yeah, save everybody some money. We'll deny treatment. People will die earlier. Why are the Republicans complaining, he says? We're going to save money. Of course, again, the annual rate of death could increase as we see more and more of the medical monopoly, and that is born of the taxpayers by force in this case. It's already bad enough. Now it will be enforced even further. Now, I reiterate here, the issue is not whether some people will be helped or not, but whether there is any constitutional authority to help in such a way. You know, there are a lot of little old ladies, a lot of young people also that don't want to be helped across the street here, right? The concept of help your neighbor, but not force them to cross the street when they don't want to go there. Where is this concept lost on the loony left here? I'm all for helping people, but I want to help people by volunteering to help people. People that ask for assistance, I'm more than happy, as many Americans are, more than happy to lend their help in many, many ways. In fact, private charity hospitals were pretty normal as a part of the American way of life through the earlier part of the 20th century, certainly. But as government became more and more involved, it basically pushed out the private charities so that it could gain monopoly status as well. So we could steal from some, give to others that which they may not even want. And many millions, Michael, many millions of those uninsured in America are that way by choice. They don't want any part of this. In fact, thousands of people came out to this expo in Long Beach where I was at last week. And they were simply saying, don't tread on me. We don't want it, Obama. Leave us alone. We know how to care for each other. We know how to care for ourselves. And there's a lot of great innovation. A lot of medical doctors who are working holistic therapies, helping their patients to get well. You know, in fact, the true origin of the word doctor or physician, Michael, is not give me all your money or let me steal it from the government and I'll do it for you. The true origin of the word doctor, what it means is teacher. A true doctor teaches you how to heal yourself.
True.
How is it that the government that can't take care of itself is going to teach anybody through this mandate, through this monopoly, to do anything but get more addicted to drugs?
Crazy.
there were some really good signs of life out on the West Coast at this event because there's this health freedom movement. And I think it may be a linchpin for a return to a real embrace of liberty on the American soil. Because given the freedom to heal and the freedom to help others to heal, most of that ails us will dissipate, as will our addiction to FDA-approved medicines. We are an over-medicated society. There is no question about that, and there's plenty of evidence throughout our government corporate culture. Well, you know what's even worse than this, Michael? This kind of medicalization through government fiat and the forcing of this monopoly on Americans is even worse in our military. You know, we've got these troops around the world trying to do their level best to protect us, and yet when they come home suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, the PTSD, the only solution that you ever hear of is from military psychiatrists and the medications that they foist upon our soldiers. Along the same lines of what you were talking about earlier in the week, Michael, with the Military Times, they're acknowledging this pharmaceutical corruption, if you will, the billions that are being spent on big pharma pills, particularly the psychiatric pills, for which there is no designated testing this way to really determine, hey, this person has an SSRI drug deficiency, for instance. And I posted another story of a hero, really, Chad, who was a Marine Scout sniper. It's on my blog, who served two tours of duty in Iraq. And after being honorably discharged back in 2007, he was summarily, I guess, diagnosed with this PTSD. And instead of, let's say, nourishing our troops back to health through nutrition, essential fats, maybe even talk therapy, he eventually was put on these psychiatric medicines. And it's written as if it's almost a psychiatric death threat to our military veterans.
Why do you say that?
Time magazine reported that during the month of January, more soldiers committed suicide than were killed by enemy fire in Afghanistan and Iraq combined.
Oh, my God. This is unbelievable to me.
You know, the military brass seemingly is just clueless as this. They don't know why these things have increased. When we know, you know, Michael, you followed these psychiatric drugging disorders, and in fact, they can elevate these suicidal tendencies or behaviors. And of course, this idea that you can just chemicalize people and know what's going to happen to each individual, it's a disaster. This particular soldier we're talking about here, Chad, was going on and off and rebounding on and off, and it was really looking bleak for him. Now, I acknowledge, and anybody would, in my own family, my uncle who served in Vietnam told me horror stories of the brutality of what of war is like and how many of his friends were either killed or really harmed from a psychological, the scarring. He came back, and he somehow survived it. He was a medical technician, a medical doctor, X-ray tech as well. And I heard these stories, and they were absolutely horrific. It's hard for me to conceive how anybody comes back in one piece psychologically. But my answer to that is certainly not to drug them out of their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this case, the story is a good story here because Chad, the Marine sniper, he came back. He went back to basics. He started each day with exercise. He got better sleep. He actually used an amino acid known as L-tryptophan and other herbal supplements, including valerian. And he got more whole foods into his life. And there's sauna therapies, far infrared heat saunas that cause you to detoxify from heavy metals and fat-soluble toxins. Imagine how simple this would be. And, of course, the story is really happy now because Chad's now earned his bachelor's degree with honors. In only 2.5 years after that, and now he's founded a veterans center, which serves as a hub at his alma mater to offer support in all matters that relate to being a vet. So here's a really great success story. Why aren't we hearing about this on the front page of the news? Why does it only appear in a blog? So my opinion, humbly here, Michael, these psychiatrists that are under contract with the Veterans Affairs are basically legal drug pushers who, in this case, almost took Chad's life through the use of these medicines.
Hmm.
So there are good people out there, research chemists, in fact, as you'll see in this story, who have woken up to the dangers of these things and are trying to help the troops, and some of the troops trying to help the troops themselves. to get off of this drug addiction. This same system, in a sense, this socialized medicine, this monopoly medicine that exists already in the military is something that I am very concerned about, because what about the children in schools? We're already, you know, for years now dealing with the Ritalin pushers of the public government indoctrination school centers. And they say, if your kid has a little bit of an attention problem, like a normal kid would, doesn't want to sit in chairs for 8 hours a day, they now are going to enforce more of these medical and psychiatric edicts. You can count on it, because the payback, those that lobbied hardest for this bill, and at the end of the day, Big Pharma did in fact lobby and pay hundreds of thousands of dollars of ad money to basically promote this, and the stocks went up. The insurance stocks went up. So how Obama and the Democrats can say this is, in the end of the day, going to help us, it's going to drug us and potentially end our life and terminate it earlier, but the bill comes to the kids and the grandkids, because there is no money to pay for this, Michael. It's just not there.
Where can we read more?
If you want to read more about the story about Chad, the Marine sniper we talked about today, Michael, or any of your listeners in the Savage Nation audience, just check out the blog at robertscottbell.blogspot.com. I'm greatly appreciative of all the efforts on behalf of your listeners to bring healing and health freedom back to America, where it does indeed belong.
Thanks for the report, Robert.
Savage.
It is Friday, and here's James Hurston with a report on the shenanigans going on in Hollywood.
I thought we'd take a little break from all the serious politics and, you know, the socialist encroachment going on in Washington, D.C., to talk about a guy who effectively battled commies on theater screens for decades. James Bond. Or should I say?
Bond. James Bond.
Now, people who have watched James Bond film or read an Ian Fleming book have heard of the UK spy agency MI5. That's the outfit that employed the fictional character James Bond. The real MI5 is now firing some James Bond generation agents because, according to the agency, they haven't learned how to use social networking and other internet technologies. The director general of MI5 is concerned that the agency is being held back by the older agents, you know, the experienced ones, who don't understand the world of computers. And of course, the secretive spy agency hasn't indicated how many are being laid off. MI5 has about 3,500 agents and plans to expand to 4,100 next year. And that's twice as many as they had in 2001. And this is an indicator of the increasing danger in the world. Many of the new agents are in their 20s and 30s.
Hmm.
So as older British spies turn over their shoulder holsters to younger agents, they are following a pattern. And it's the same pattern that's in the James Bond movies.
Why do you say that?
I mean, the Bond character sprang to the cinema from the pages of this novelist Ian Fleming's books. A lot of us read those books when we were kids. The early films about 007 were based on Fleming's novels and short stories and followed later by movies with new storylines. The Bond series is the longest continually running film series in history, having been an ongoing production from 1962 to the present, 2010, and still continues. And to this point, the Bond production house, Eon, that's spelled E-O-N, Productions, has released 22 of these Bond films, about one every 2 years, most of them produced at the legendary Pinewood Studios. The Bond flicks have grossed just over $5 billion at the worldwide box office, which make the Bond flicks the second most successful film series ever. Now, it's narrowly edged out by the Harry Potter films, and that may change in the future. Amazingly, the series has been handed down to one actor after another, but still has held on to a multi-generational audience. Part of the reason? It's the fantasy. It's the image of the sophisticated hero with one arm around a Bond girl and the other on the steering wheel of an exotic sports car, engaged in a chase while doing stunts, sipping a vodka martini and not spilling a drop.
A martini, shaken, not stirred.
The villains, the communist villains, are brought to justice by the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
The first and the prototypical Bond was Sean Connery, who portrayed the James Bond character in seven films. And they all took place between 1962 and 1983 in two incarnations. It's these films, you just say the names, Dr. No, From Russia with Love, Goldfinger, Thunderball, You Only Live Twice, Diamonds Are Forever, and Never Say Never Again. Now, they're all on Spike TV almost every other evening. But in 1969, an Australian male model named George Lazenby became the new 007 in a film called On Her Majesty's Secret Service, because another actor named Timothy Dalton turned down the role, saying he was too young. Dalton became Bond later on. I'll tell you about that. Lazenby's acting experience was only a series of chocolate commercials. It turned out that his style, though, after he did Bond, was more suited for chocolate commercials.
Ha
So Sean Connery came back again and did his Bond role in 1971 for Diamonds Are Forever. Now, diamonds may be forever, but Connery wasn't, and was replaced by Roger Moore. You remember the television show The Saint, who had the Bond role from 1973 to 1985, long run. By then, the actor I mentioned earlier, Timothy Dalton, figured he'd gotten older enough to take the Bond part, so he fired a Walther PPK from 1987 to 1994. The critics thought he was actually more correct when he turned down the role in the first place and should have stayed on the stage where he belonged. Dalton was the Bond character in a film called The Living Daylights and a subsequent film, License to Kill, that was shot in Mexico rather than at the Pinewood Studios in England. And this film had a darker and more violent plot, which elicited calls for edits by the British Board of Film Classification, which is the equivalent of our MPAA. Now, Pierce Brosnan took over the role in 1995, and when he got to be Bond, a controversy broke out in England. Why? Because Brosnan was Irish. Now, there was very little attention paid to the fact that Connery was Scottish, Lazenby was Australian, and Timothy Dalton was from Wales. But British fans thought, my goodness, there's something wrong with this Irishman playing Bond. And so some referred to Pierce Brosnan as James O'Bond. But Pierce kept the gig until 2004. And in 2006, they had to come up with another Bond. So there was 18 long months of speculation and looking at clips and trying to figure out who would be the Bond. And it was announced that the new MI5 agent would be Daniel Craig. Now, Craig says he found out that he got the job of playing Bond by cell phone while he was in a Baltimore supermarket. The producer called him and said, "Over to you, kiddo." The choice of Daniel Craig wasn't received well by critics and fans when it was announced in 2005. But after Daniel Craig came out in his first film, Casino Royale, and then the subsequent film, Quantum of Solace, it was clear this guy is the best Bond since Sean Connery. His contract calls for two more Bond films. The next one's coming out next year. And the Bond music was a big part of this franchise. You know, you heard that theme, that it was a perfect beginning with that opening music that was used on almost every film. Perhaps the most memorable theme song for a Bond flick was Goldfinger, performed by Shirley Bassey, who went on to sing two other theme songs for Moonraker and Diamonds Are Forever.
Goldfinger, he's the man.
And there's lots of interesting pop stars that sang Bond movie tunes. Tom Jones for Thunderball, Nancy Sinatra for You Only Live Twice, and Carly Simon, one of the best, for The Spy Who Loved Me.
Nobody does it better.
Nobody does it better. One of the worst Bond themes ever was the Paul McCartney and Wings tune, the title song, Live and Let Die. Just write out the lyrics. You won't believe it. But since artists like Tina Turner, Gladys Knight, Patti LaBelle, and even Madonna have performed themes for Bond movies, I guess we shouldn't be surprised that a current singer that dresses, shall we say, unconventionally would be chosen for the next Bond movie. Yeah, it's none other than Lady Gaga.
Are you kidding?
Lady Gaga. What a name. Ian Fleming would have named a Bond villain Lady Gaga. We've got to defeat Lady Gaga. Nonetheless, Ms. Gaga is reportedly in negotiations with movie bosses to record the next James Bond theme tune. James Bond, at least he consistently fought the commies. Thanks, Michael, for continuing to pour out your libation each day. And like most Savage listeners, I like my talk radio shaken, not stirred.
Shaken, not stirred.
Back to you, my friend.
Hey, thanks for the report, James.
Savage.
How long have I warned you that Obama really wants to shut down dissent, not only in talk radio, but everywhere? He'll start with talk radio. Well, I was right. Listen to Midstream Media member from CBS, whatever his name is, talk to Obama about critics such as Michael Savage.
I've been spending time out and about listening to talk radio.
Right.
The kindest of terms you're sometimes referred to out in America is a socialist, the worst of which I've heard is called a Nazi. Are you aware of the level of enmity that crosses the airwaves and that people have made part of their daily conversation about you?
Well, I mean, I think that when you listen to Rush Limbaugh or Glenn Beck, it's pretty apparent, and it's troublesome.
Your criticism is troublesome, Mr. President? Is freedom of speech troublesome? And don't dare call him a socialist.
This is based on what? This notion that Obama's a socialist, for example. Nobody can really give you a good answer. Much less when they, right. You know, make...
they would say mandating that people have to buy insurance or something like that.
Yeah,
but.
The sort of plan proposed by current Republican nominee Mitt Romney. Yeah.
And what did they decide to do after the interview? Play basketball, of course. Night basketball.
Well, hang on, Mr. President. The question
very
is...
Very nice. There you go.
...that everybody wants to know, can you go to your right?
I can go to my right, but I prefer my left. All right, that's two for two.
Okay, all right. Harry, you need a warm-up
Harry,
shot or two?
You want to try a couple?
I'm so nervous.
He's got form. He's got game.
But that wasn't the end of it. In the same day, Obama mocked pundits who attacked him on Obamacare.
Can you imagine if some of these reporters were working on a farm? And, yeah, you planted some seeds, and they came out next day, and they looked, and nothing's happened. There's no crop. We're going to starve. Oh, no.
What impudence, what arrogance. Don't you people see this man for what he is?
It's a disaster! It's been a week, folks. So before we find out if people like health care reform, we should wait to see what happens when we actually put it into place.
You know why he doesn't care about the polls? Do you know why he doesn't care about the Constitution? Because it doesn't matter to him. He's doing the bidding of those who put him in office. And neither does Representative Hare from Illinois.
Where in the Constitution?
No, we are going to. I don't worry about the Constitution on this, to be honest.
Jackpot, brother.
Oh, keep what going. I care more about the people that are dying every day that don't have health care.
You care more about that than the U.S. Constitution that you swore to uphold.
But wait, it gets worse. He's not the only insane Democrat. There's a representative named Hank Johnson who was actually on record thinking that the island of Guam could tip over and capsize. Too many people appear on it. I swear to God, and he represents a district in Georgia, and he voted for Obamacare.
My fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that.
And there's Barbara Boxer whining she has a tough race.
It's going to be a tough race. Would I like to be popular by 80%? Yes. Is anybody? No.
And now, the Savage Nation Hollywood Idiot of the Day.
And today's Hollywood Idiot of the Day, why, it's Ted Danson, Hollywood starlet and brilliant environmental scientist.
A handful of things came my way at the same time. One was I met a man named Robert Sulnick who was in the middle of a fight to keep Occidental Petroleum from digging about 60 oil wells right into the slant drilling into Santa Monica Bay. I got involved in that fight. We won. We liked each other. We wanted to continue working in this area. So out of naivete, you know, we thought in a little innocence, why don't we... I'll hire you and we'll start some organization. And we started American Oceans Campaign. My daughters and I are walking on a beach. And I couldn't explain to them why we couldn't go swimming. I wish I had that, you know, my mother was a mermaid story that would make it all make sense, but I don't.
Said the fool.
My father was an archaeologist and a scientist. So part of that kind of, you know, we are meant to be stewards of this time that we're here kind of rubbed off on me.
Well, here are the headlines that I didn't get to yet on the Savage Nation. The Metro suicide bomber in Moscow was a teenage Muslim widow. Did you see her picture? Just take a look at this. Take a look at the monsters that they're digging up and sending out with bombs in their burqas. This is also on Michael Savage. Obama's fanatic efforts to demilitarize the United States while China and Russia are building up their nuclear arsenal. Obama is going to tear down our nuclear arsenal. How can one man do this without a vote of Congress? Ties to the next story. Obama's arrogance out of control. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Also on Michael Savage, Marine Base cannot censor criticism of Muhammad. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? That we had to come to this? That men who are fighting and dying, Muslim fanatics, can't even have an anti-Muhammad bumper sticker? Until now?
So you're not allowed to criticize him on talk radio, and you can't even have a bumper sticker on your car. It's insane.
Oh, no, they said he can. Now they can. For a while, they threw him off the base.
How many people are going to be afraid to do it now?
Now, here's another one. Mexicans to claim asylum owing to the drug war. Did you hear this? Illegal aliens are now going to come in saying that they fear the drug war, and with the help of the ACLU clogging up the courts, they're all going to be tied up in asylum courts, tens or hundreds of thousands of them. And take a look at what the Democrats have in Congress. Here's a congressman from Georgia who voted for Obamacare who said the following. He thinks that Guam will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize. This is a congressman from Georgia. This is what we have running America today. Take a look at him. Take a look at his picture.
Public education works wonders, doesn't it?
Belgium is moving to become the first European nation to ban the burqa. Can you believe this? It's great. It's great news.
Belgium knows what's going on. Switzerland knows what's going on. The Netherlands knows what's going on. I guess we don't.
Here's two more stories. A taser was used on a 10-year-old by two cops. That's right. Yeah. A child got out of control at a daycare facility, and they tased him, Beowulf. Can you believe this?
That's disgusting. They're picking on kids now?
Play some music for me. It's Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. Well, here's the last story that we have to talk about, and it's actually, in a way, crazy good news. The first Muslim sex shop has opened for business. And take a look at the guy's face who opened it. You won't believe it. But he says, quote, and I'm quoting him now, "The Prophet Muhammad gave lots of advice about sex and marriage, and there need not be any shame. There may be hope yet, Beowulf."
I guess you were right about, you know, dropping the alcohol and the porn into the Muslim world.
Oh, God.
Maybe it's starting to work.
Stay tuned on your local affiliate, and of course, with God's will and your listenership. Savage.